Take your Bible, turn to Revelation chapter 2, and I need you to keep your Bibles open. We're going to read about, seven different verses in the first, in chapter 2 and chapter 3. We're going to skip around a little bit, and then I want to teach tonight. We are in a series called Making Biblical Sense of Our Senses. Tonight, I want to talk about the topic of spiritual hearing. Spiritual hearing, and I'll review in a little while here, but I want to read these verses. Look at Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. Revelation chapter 2, verse number 7. And I want you to notice some words here. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit, notice that S, that's capital S, that's the Holy Spirit. So he that hath an ear, it doesn't say a holy ear or a spiritual ear. Says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, look down at verse number 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Look down at verse number 17. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Look at verse number 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at chapter 3, verse number 6. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Look at verse number 13. Have you noticed a common theme here so far? All right, verse 13. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And look at verse 22, the last verse in chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, here in these passages we read, I'm going to give you a little overview of what Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3 are all about. Chapter 2, chapter 3 address seven different churches in it. Now, these are seven different churches. Mr. Schofield's wrong. The Calvinists are wrong when they say, well, these are seven church ages. No, they're not. They're seven different churches. This period of time, and this represents this period of time. All of these represent every area of time. It's seven different churches. God didn't make church ages. He made churches. And anybody that teaches you otherwise is a Calvinist, and they're wrong, just so you know. Everybody doing okay? The official term would be dispensationalism. That's one of those words I paid a lot of money for at college to learn, and I don't use it very often because nobody else knows what it is either. All right? But I don't believe that God worked in different church ages differently than he works today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't make the Bible different for people all the way through the ages. Well, what's the difference between Old Testament and New Testament? Real simple. If this pulpit is Calvary, in the Old Testament, people looked ahead to what Jesus would do. You say, well, what about all the sacrifices? In the New Testament, we have the record that it did happen. Jesus did do it. We look back at what Jesus did do. In the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. In the New Testament, we have the Lord's Supper. Same thing. Nobody got saved by any sacrifice, just like you don't get saved by the Lord's Supper. Don't care what the Pope says, it's not a sacrament, it is just a symbol. That's all that it is. All right? Now, the Bible is the same for all ages. Now, these seven churches, God says something to him and says this: he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, I want you to notice something. You have five senses. By the way, there is not a sixth one. All right? There's not six. There are only five. And four of the five are on your head. All right? You have hearing, you have sight, you have smell, you have taste, and you have touch. All right? And actually, you do have the fifth one on your head, because if you got clobbered over the head as much as I did, you do feel things, all right? Now, those are your five senses, and God talks about our senses a lot in the Bible. But I want you to notice, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That means we have the ability to hear the Holy Spirit of God somehow, or God's a liar.
Yes, sir.
Now, let me remind you, God made us with the same senses he had. Let us make man in our own image, Genesis chapter 1. God made us with the same senses that he has. Now, here's the difference. When man sinned, his senses became perverted. His senses were changed. Because man's spirit died, man's senses took over and began to rule instead of listening to the Spirit and obeying God. By the way, Satan used sight. Satan used taste. And Satan used touch, but he also used hearing. I said a few weeks ago that he used three. He actually used four, because he was tempting Eve and Adam with his words. They were listening with their ears of what not to do. So he involved much of our senses. When man sinned, you know what the first thing he realized was? He realized he didn't have clothes on. His senses went into overdrive. I said that as wisely as I knew how to say that. And he had to cover himself. And God said, how did you know that? Your senses aren't supposed to be controlling you. Your spirit is to be controlling you. Your spirit must be dead. You've disobeyed me. And from that point on, we have been battling our senses. You wonder why this world lives like a bunch of animals? Because animals are led by their senses. Their nose leads them to where the food is because their belly is hungry. Everybody understand? When they hear I used the illustration somebody was laughing about the other week, the farm that I get to hunt from time to time, the farmer will go out there and Bill will woo, make some kind of weird noise, amen. And all of a sudden, you watch all the cattle, buddy. Boom. It doesn't matter where they are. They can be on the back corner of the farm. But if they hear that hoot and holler, they know that means free food, and he wants us home. And they fall in line, and off they go, buddy. It is on the road. And don't get in their way. I'm telling you, they know what that means. Now, I say that to say this. Animals are led by their senses. We're getting to the time of year where you got to be careful when you're driving because the deer are out. Say why? We're getting into the what they call the mating season, and they're driven by their senses. They get stupid. They start running and chasing, and the bucks get dumb. That's when you got a chance to shoot them, because they're running stupid because they're being led by their nose, being led by their senses. And that is exactly how our world lives today. They live controlled by their senses. Everything is sensual. The word sensual is used twice in the scripture, once in either 1st or 2nd Peter and the other in Jude, verse 29. And each time it's used, it's in reference to lost people, and it's devilish, and it's in reference to not being saved. A saved person has the ability to let the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit indwells them, let the Spirit control their senses a little better. Now, we'll never be the way God intended us to be till we get to heaven. But we can be more spiritual with our senses, and we don't have to be led by our senses as much. Everybody got that? Here we go. Now, when a person gets saved, they now have a chance to be more like God because the Spirit enables them to do it. You get to have a more complete life. Some of you didn't get saved till a little bit later in life. The world becomes different after you get saved. Before you didn't notice some things. Now that you're saved, you're starting to notice some things. And I've talked about those things, and I'm not going to re-teach or re-preach any of that. Now, it's not a perfect life, but it's more complete. Now, listen to me very carefully. God gave us our senses to enjoy this life. But he also gave it so that we could understand him and how God wants to enjoy this life. Did you know God enjoyed the double rainbow that was out here when I pulled up in the parking lot tonight? That thing was gorgeous. My wife and I were out there taking pictures of it, sending it to the kids. And man, we got to see the whole thing. And at one time, it was so bright, I actually saw four different colors. Usually a rainbow to me, I can just see a discoloration. I can't tell you what colors they are. That thing was vibrant. I saw yellow and orange and some kind of blue. And I think I even saw a little bit of red or something else in that thing. I mean, it was just jump out and touch you. Amen. Now, you notice those things a little bit more after you get saved. Not that you didn't see them before, but it means a whole lot different. When I saw that, I realized that's God's promise. Everything's all right. He's not going to flood us out. Amen. Now, hang on. God gave us our senses to enjoy, not to control us. Now, we read in Revelation chapter 2, chapter 3, seven different times, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. This shows me that man does have the ability to hear the Spirit of God. God made it possible for us to hear the Spirit of God. Now, here's the lesson. You ready? Everybody smile. You look like you're half dead. The rain and the moisture has you down, all right? If I were in a high school class right now, you'd be getting up and doing jumping jacks, amen? So you better be glad you're not in a high school classroom. All right, here we go. Number one, man must be saved, not religious, to first be able to hear spiritually. Amen. Man has to be saved, not religious, to be able to hear spiritually. I know a lot of religious people that say they've heard the Spirit of God, but they have not heard the Spirit of God because they're not even saved. Right. You can't hear the Spirit if you don't have a Spirit. Yes, because the Holy Spirit is not going to speak unless it is about salvation. Now, listen to me very carefully. When we get saved, man's spirit is reborn, and the Holy Spirit moves into your body. It's called the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Everybody got that? It's not Casper the Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now watch this. Did you know that something that is dead has no senses? And I'm not going to be cruel or anything, but as I've done a lot of hunting, I taught my boys to hunt. And when we would kill a deer, first thing you do is you walk up behind it where it can't kick you because they can fool you. You don't walk up on an animal that's lying on the ground that's big enough to kick the snot out of you and rip your guts out, amen? You walk up and you're making noise trying to get it to move. And I've always taught my boys, you take the end of your gun and tap it on the eyeball. That's the one place you can't hold back reflex. You try to stick your finger in your eye and just go boink, boink, boink and not move, all right? It doesn't work. I don't care how tough you are, you're going to, all right? Same thing with an animal. And you got to make sure that thing's gone before you walk up on it because I've been close enough to one that wasn't, and it's a frightening thing. You just don't want to do that. So I've taught them, poke it in the eye, you know, make sure everything's, you know, shake it real good. Okay, now we're safe. And you say, you do all that? Yes. You say, why? I got to make sure all those senses are gone. Amen. When I was in Mexico, we killed a few rattlesnakes. You can cut the head off of a rattlesnake and that thing will bite you for 2 hours. You have to, it'll literally just sit there, and if something touches it, it'll bite and the venom goes. Rattlesnake will keep on going for hours, even though it's not alive. Its reflex muscle action is to bite and go on. And so if you ever dispatch a rattlesnake, the best thing to do is dig a hole and throw the head in it, cover it up to where nobody can get hurt by it, or put rocks over it or whatever so where nobody can get to it, because it's still deadly for hours afterwards. And it's just one of those things. Now, something that is dead has no senses. I'm going to make a statement here. People who use their senses only as spirituality are not spiritual. People who only use their senses as spirituality in religion are not spiritual. Let me show you what I mean. Brother Stoltz, come on up here. Brother Stoltz has cancer. He's got AIDS. He's got, what else do you got? Ugliness.
Dementia.
Dementia. He's got arthritis. He's got all these ailments, and he comes to get healed, amen? And somebody says, you know, in the name of Jesus, be healed, and he falls on the ground. And he gets up, and everything's gone but his AIDS. All right, I'm seeing. Now, wait a minute. That is called using your senses in religion, but it's not spiritual.
Right.
And I'm not going to mention religions here, but you get people that get excited at church and then they start jibber jabbering in some tongue movement. They, oh, I got the gift of prophecy. And they start talking and only God understands it. And God's looking down saying, that's stupid. Well, I felt it. I felt the Spirit. Wait a minute. That's a sense. Well, I was tingling. I've had those tingly feelings too, but it didn't mean it was the Spirit. Well, I felt it. Wait a minute. Feeling. God didn't say, he that feels the Spirit, let him feel what the Spirit saith unto the church.
Right.
Said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Or you got the, and again, I'm not making fun of anybody, but you got the modern contemporary Christian service with the music. You know, let's all stand up and let's wave our hands and swing and let's all sing the rock music. And oh, can't you just feel the Spirit? No, you can't.
Right.
No, you can't. That's conjured up. That's making your senses believe something that's not there. Do you know there are people that actually believe in the paranormal, ghosts? There are billions of dollars spent in America every year for people to find ghosts. Folks, I could save you a whole lot of money. There are none. Oh, we've seen them. No, you haven't. Hate to disappoint you. This is that, oh, feel the Spirit. This is the liturgical rituals. Did I do that one right, Mrs. Barnes? All right. that's where you got the, what do you call it? The little black bead things, the rosary. There you go. And you're going to pray through one of those things, you know, Hail Mary, full of grace, you come near me, I'm going to punch you in the face and all those other things. I don't know what it is. Please don't get mad at me. I have never said it. I have no idea. That's the only way I knew it, all right? I grew up around a lot of, I didn't grow up around Catholics. I grew up around Catholics. Okay? Yeah, and anybody knows what I'm talking about right there, that's the real stuff, amen? If your last name didn't end in ski or E, you were the oddball, amen? And it wasn't Bushy or Bushky. We were the only normal ones. Now, wait a minute. I say that to say this. We get so wrapped up in ritual that we think we have felt religiously the Spirit of God. I don't care how much you conjure it up with your senses, it doesn't mean it's spiritual. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. Not he that feels it, neither he that tingles, Not he that jumps up and down and jibber jabbers in some Yamaha Kawasaki language or anything else. It's not, I got it. Well, if you got it, I don't want it. Amen? Amen. It's none of those things. It's not the old, pardon me, but it's not the old pray through till you got it. It's not hang on till you get it. No, so all you got to do is ask for it. You got it. Amen. Now, hang on. These are all flesh and soul, but not spirit. It's all conjured up through the flesh and through the soul, but it is not spiritual. Number two. So, number one, man must be saved, not religious, to first be able to hear spiritually. Number two, God speaks to man through the Bible, and the Holy Spirit guides us in the Bible to speak to us. God speaks to man through the Bible, the words of God, and the Holy Spirit guides us with the Bible to speak to us. Let me show you what I mean. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Just back a little bit here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're going to use your Bibles a little bit, so hang on. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Who is the spirit of his mouth, or what is the spirit of his mouth? It's the word of God. Wow. The spirit, by the way, that shows you the inspiration of the Bible, the breath. The life-giving breath of the words of God. The spirit of his mouth. Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. They were spoken by God verbally. Okay? So, you have the words of his mouth. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1. It's right. I should have started there because it was closer to Revelation, but I didn't. 2 Peter chapter 2, chapter 1, verse number 20. That's why I said chapter 2, because it's right above it. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture, that's the Bible, is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the word of God was given by God, by the Holy Ghost, to man. Here we go. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse number 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Look down at verse number 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You say, well, that's talking about faith, not the word of God. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17. I love this. So then, faith cometh by, what's the next word?
Hearing.
And hearing by the word of God. So faith and hearing and the word of God all work together with the Holy Ghost. Now watch this. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17. You don't have to turn there unless you're going to get there quick, because as soon as I get there, I'm going to read it. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the Spirit and the Word of God work together so that man can hear the Spirit of God. That's what increases our faith. That's what builds our faith. It is by the hearing of the Word of God that we hear the Spirit of God. Everybody got that? So God uses the reading of the Word of God. God uses the listening to the reading of the Word of God. God uses the preaching of the Word of God. And God uses biblical counsel to help lead us by the Spirit of God with the Word of God. When somebody tells you something contrary to that book, what they're saying is wrong, this book is right. Everybody doing okay? I'm for giving to missions. And one of these days, we're going to be able to give more to missions. As soon as I don't have to pay as much on a building, we're going to do it, amen? We're supporting 4 missionaries right now. We're doing the best we can. But let me tell you something. If we ever have a faith promise around here, I do not believe in getting up and saying, okay, you take your electric bill money and give it to missions, and you live by faith that God's going to pay your electric bill. No, you're asking the electric company to live by faith. You're not asking you to live by faith. I'm not for that kind of high pressure stuff. I'm for having faith, not foolishness.
Yes, sir.
Everybody doing okay? say, boy, you're not going to do real good at raising money. Probably not. But I'd rather have your finances straight and you right with God by tithing more than I would you giving your electric bill money and losing your house over it.
Yes, sir.
I'm for you sacrificing from time to time. But it'll be a cold day where the booger man lives. Sorry, I shouldn't use terms like that. But it's going to be as long as I have any sanity to y'all, I've been in churches, well, we're going to have a give it all Sunday. And I'm not saying it's sinful. But I have a hard time asking any person in this room to give up an entire paycheck just to live by faith when you're scraping it together to barely pay the bills right now. God didn't tell us to have a give it all. He said, you give a certain amount, and if everybody do their part, God will take care of the rest. If you want to give a little extra and watch God bless a little extra, go for it. But I don't think it ought to be a required thing of anybody. Everybody doing okay? Okay, here we go. So, number one, man must be saved, not religious, to first hear spiritually. Number two, God speaks to man through the Bible, and the Holy Spirit guides us in the Bible to speak to us. Number three. Sorry, I was out of breath there. I need a drink. Say, that's not very kind. We didn't get a drink. In 13 minutes, you can. Our physical ear, hearing the Bible, is what feeds or starves our spiritual ears. Let me ask you a question. What have you fed the Spirit by what's entered your ears this week? And we wonder why we have a hard time hearing the Spirit of God. This is why gossip, negativity, and those kinds of things chase away, or the Bible uses the word quenches, the Holy Spirit. When you're listening to gossip, you're not listening to the Word of God. You're not listening to the Holy Spirit. Everybody doing okay? If you're listening to negative things, you're not listening to the Spirit. I protect myself. I don't read negative things. I don't listen to negative things, especially before I preach. I don't listen to much of the news on Sundays and Wednesdays. And you ought to be really glad. Say why? Because I would be depressed. I watched about 15, 20 minutes of the news, I think, yesterday. My wife said, do you want any more news? I said, no, I've heard enough to last me quite a while. I said, good night. First 12 minutes of news is about this murder, that murder, this murder, that murder, this one killed in a car wreck, this one drunk, this pervert, this trial, that trial. I thought, what in the world are we doing? No wonder our world's so weird. We listen to so much negative. See, this is why bad doctrine causes people to make bad spiritual decisions, because they're listening to wrong things in their ears. I believe in listening only to right doctrine. I'm careful even with what songs we sing. Everybody doing okay? I check the doctrines of the songs we sing. Unfortunately, every once in a while, you get a songbook and you didn't know that somebody changed the words in some of the songs. And every once in a while, we got to do a little changing, or we just throw that song out of the rotation and don't sing it anymore. You say, why? Because I don't want us singing bad doctrine. You say, why? Because those songs are doctrinal just as much as anything else. That's why some people get a bad diet of Christian music. The contemporary Christian music of our day is so weak and so bad doctrinally, nobody has any need to listen to it, just so you know.
Yes, sir.
Good night. I'm not going there. I'll preach a sermon on music here before too long. By the way, this is why our emotions controlling us, instead of us yielding to the Bible and yielding to the Holy Spirit, causes us not to hear spiritually. If I would have yielded to my emotions, I probably wouldn't have went and saw that guy today, Rhonda. Say why? Do you know how awkward it is to walk into an intensive care ward, meet somebody for the first time in your life, knowing they're in intensive care, and say, if you died today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? That's not the place to ask it that way. But that's not a comfortable thing. But Brother Ron and I walked in, talked to the fellow for a little while, and I said, Dave, are you sure you're going to heaven someday? He said, pretty sure. Got saved. I said, that's the answer I'm looking for. What'd you do to get saved? And he began to tell me. And he got saved. Can I tell you something? I'm good with that. Who am I to judge him? But if I listened to what my emotions said, well, you really don't want to go talk to that guy. He looked in pretty rough shape. He didn't sound real good. Man, he had more things wrong with him than I ever want wrong with me. I felt sorry for the feller. You think I wanted to ask him if he was sure he was going to heaven at that moment? I'm thinking, it's a little closer to you than me, it looks like right now. But it did. I went past the emotion of it and got to it. Everybody doing okay? By the way, it causes you to hear spiritual things that way. Do you know I was able to help that fella? Brother Ron and I were. I was able to pray with him, and he said, thank you. That was one of the sweetest times, Brother Ron. I don't get that very often. Walk into a hospital and somebody thank you for praying with them and you never met them before. Usually, get out of here. Now, wait a minute. You got to overcome the emotion. Do you know there's times I'm not real happy? But I'm not going to tell you when those are. You know, there's times I don't always feel like being on top side. But do it anyway. My emotions don't want me to be. Did you know there's times that I've been hurt? Not necessarily physically, but emotionally I've been hurt by someone. Guess what? I've put those emotions aside and do what I'm supposed to do. It's not that I don't feel things. I choose when I'm going to feel them. My grandma's been sick. They thought she had pneumonia. When you're almost 98 years old and you get pneumonia, that's not a good thing. My emotions were going. I wonder if I'll ever get to talk to her again. I wonder if I'll get to hear her on a Saturday again. I wonder if I'll get to see her this side of glory again. But I've been doing that for 20 years. She always pulls through, and she's pulling through again. She's a tough old German. Glory to God. I keep telling her she's going up in the rapture. She got to hang on just a little while longer, amen? Now, wait a minute. I don't always feel good about everything going on in my life. But can I tell you something? I have put those feelings aside and do what I'm supposed to do. You know, I didn't always feel like disciplining my children. I never felt like doing it. There's not one time as a parent I ever wanted to discipline my child. I don't know about you. It wasn't one of those things, oh, goody, I get to do it. It didn't work out that way. If you feel that way about it, something's wrong. Now, I did it. I didn't like it, but I do like the result. Now, this is, bless you. I'd say it's hair gel, but Brother Barnes doesn't have any. What do you call that stuff for bold people? Head oil. There you go. All right. This is how you endure bad situations. Did you know that as you listen to the Spirit of God and listen to the Word of God, as bad situations come your way, you can endure those because you let them pass by you and you listen to the Spirit, not the situation going on around you. Did you know people change, but the Bible does not? In my 26 years of the ministry, in being a Christian for 44 years, and being in church 48 years, did you know there's been a lot of people change in my life, but the Bible didn't change at all? So my spirituality is not wrapped up in a person. It's wrapped up, well, it is, but not a person down here. It's wrapped up in God, in the Word of God. That's how you listen to things with a spiritual ear. Did you know that situations change, but the Bible doesn't change? Situations will change, but the Bible doesn't change. Did you know my wife and I hurt and cried for a day and a half after we left our last kid at college? I didn't think I was going to, but I did. I thought I was tougher than I was and found out I wasn't. But guess what? I got right back in the saddle, kept on going. And we had people saved. We've had visitors. We've seen lives changed. We've seen unbelievable things take place, even though the situation in our home changed. Everybody doing okay? Situations change. Say, do you miss her? Yeah. And I miss Jeff, and I miss Josh, and I miss Ruth Ann. But I don't want them all moving back home. Tell you why, I'm enjoying life, amen? And they need to enjoy their life. When they have kids, bring them over. Let me play with them a while. Let them change the diapers. Amen? Amen, Brother Jimbo? Yeah, buddy. Now, wait a minute. Did you know that life and death happens around us, but the Bible doesn't change? Do you know that, barring a miracle, I'll preach my grandmother's funeral one of these days, but it doesn't change the Bible? I may have to preach my dad or my mom's funeral one of these days, but it does not change the Bible. I've preached two of my grandparents' funerals, one of my wife's grandparents' funerals, and the Bible did not change. And it's not going to change. You say, but I loved that person. You can still love them even though they're not here, and you can love their memory, and when you get to heaven, you'll get to see them. But may I say it, it doesn't change the Bible. Our emotion is still there. Yes, it is, but it does not have to control us and destroy us. This is a little tougher. Health comes and goes, but the Bible doesn't change. Do you know, when I was down for 2 days, I still read my Bible? Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I didn't feel like it. For about 6 hours, my head felt like it had a bomb in there that went poof, and it couldn't get out. It wasn't a migraine, but it was about as close as you can come, I think. It was just like I could put my fingers on my forehead and I could feel it going boom, 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 boom. I'm thinking, ooh, whoever's in there beating, stop, please. And then I realized it was my heart and said, don't stop, please. It was not good. Health comes and goes, but the Bible does not change. It doesn't. Even while I was down, not feeling well, I read my Bible and the Lord gave me a sweet truth that one of these days I'll preach. I'll remember where I got it, and I may reference it or I may not, but it wasn't when I was feeling like reading my Bible. You say, you read your Bible because you had to? Yes, I did. But in my obedience, God overcame what I wasn't feeling, amen, or what I was feeling. Now, I believe much should be said about us speaking yielded to the Spirit of God. Preaching, teaching, even fellowshipping yielded to the Spirit of God with our voices. But I'm here to tell you how we listen, we ought to be yielded to the Spirit of God. If we'll listen to the preaching, yielded to the Spirit, as the Word of God is preached, we can hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. That's how God does it. When you listen in Sunday school, you're hearing what the Spirit saith unto the church. By the way, I don't care if you're that tall or if you're the oldest person in the room. We're not going to find out. Well, I know who, and I'm not going to say how old. But it doesn't matter if you're the oldest person in the room. We all need to learn the Word of God. Dr. Evans used to say it this way. The day you stop learning is the day you start dying. We ought to be learning to the grave. My grandmother had dementia. She had to relearn something every minute. Bless her heart. It gets to a point where you either laugh or cry all the time. You might as well laugh. The first time I realized my grandmother did not even know who I was. Brother Gus, it was sad. I took my wife. I had probably two of the kids. And then I took a couple of my brother's kids with me. I think I took all three of them. I think we had five kids with us. We're sitting there and she looked at me. I said, Grandma, how are you? She said, who are you? I said, it's Craig. Oh, okay. Who's that? Is that your wife? Boy, she's pretty. I said, yes, ma'am, that's Debbie. You've met her before. Oh, I did? Oh, it's good to see you again. And who are you again? And then she said, all those kids yours? After about the 10th time, me trying to explain two were, three weren't, three were Chris's, Grandma, they're all ours. Oh, that's a lot of kids. God bless you. You know how it goes, the routine. I walked out in the hall. I started crying. I thought my grandma didn't even know who I am anymore. But that's okay. She'll remember me one of these days. She will. And I'll get to see her and she won't say, who are you? She'll be about that tall. And as soon as I hit the gates, she's going to have them big old arms wrapped around me just a squalling away. Nobody could holler like Grandma could holler, trust me. Can I tell you something? I'm looking forward to that. Now, wait a minute. I'm also to be listening with a spiritual ear and not with my carnal ear only. Religion listens with a carnal ear. Spiritual people listen with a spiritual ear. Oh, did you feel the music? I love that song. It made me feel so good. That was a real good spiritual song. Just because it made you feel good doesn't mean it was spiritual. I could get her on that piano and make you feel good about songs you shouldn't feel good about. Number one, she's not going to play them on that piano. Number two, she's not allowed to play them, and I don't want her to play them. Amen? But we could. If we listen with a spiritual ear, especially someone who has a spiritual tongue, we're going to get what God has for us. Isn't that amazing? Now, none of us can live it perfectly. We're sinners. But we can yield to the Spirit more than we've ever yielded so that we can listen to what He has to say. And we listen to what He has to say by reading that book, by hearing it taught, by hearing it preached, by being around it, by reading it, and by getting good, godly, biblical counsel. If it doesn't follow the Bible, it's not right. Period. I'm just here to tell you that. You say, you're pretty arrogant about that. No, I'm just that confident. That's how you hear the Spirit of God. He will not work outside that book right there. Ever. He'll never, ever work outside of the Word of God. He cannot because He is God. He is God. He is God the Spirit. So for him to work against that, he's working against himself, and then God's a liar. Everybody doing okay? That's how you hear with a spiritual ear. You listen to the Word of God. You read the Word of God. You yield to the Spirit. You yield to the Word of God. You do what it says and watch God do the rest. And that he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. That's how you have spiritual hearing. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Many of us listen to things that aren't spiritual. Not everything in this world you can listen to is spiritual. We have our jobs and different things, but we sure could listen to an awful lot more of spiritual things than we listen to. We can get into the Word of God and obey it and listen to it and yield to it. We can speak it. We can help teach it. We can help live it and hear more spiritually than we've ever heard before.